Yeah, thanks, Lex. I don't know why it took you so long to invite me. That was a joke.
We'll find out.
So it's really, thank you so much. Thank you for the privilege. To the Othership team, and for the trust so that I could come and share God's words with you. And before we get to the scriptures, I just want to say something that I felt as we were worshiping. I just had a sense of God saying, stay humble, really stay humble, and just continue to be real. There is so much in store for this community. I think as we were worshiping, I just sense something of just God really pouring much of his love on this community, and the city will be really touched, even beyond. I felt that, Lex. So this morning, you know, the reason I'm here because, you know, I got interrupted by Lex. And, you know, interruptions in life, we are going to be looking at one very tricky topic. The gift of an interrupted life. I am here, as I said, I should have been in Weinberg, but I'm here because I got interrupted. And the means of that interruption is an invitation. And the interruption can come in many forms. Some parents who are standing here, maybe one of those kids, it was never part of their plan. They got interrupted. Maybe their plan was career. And some of you are sitting here this morning, if you think back to the beginning of the year, you know, on your to-do list, one of the things was exercising more, grow spiritually. But you look, if you go back and look at it, it's not what you've achieved so far. You know, life is about interruption. And they come in different form. Yeah, when we go back to the book of Genesis, you look, even in there, we see interruption. When the fall happened, we see how life got interrupted. In the story of redemption, there is interruption. You know, even in restoration, there is going to be interruption. So life is forever, this side of life. Interruptions cannot be avoided. We will be interrupted. And this morning, I'd love to use one particular story because throughout the Bible, you see how God interrupts individuals. Interrupted the disciples, you know, get into their careers, Peter and them, and they needed to throw the nets and stop that. God interrupted them. So God will interrupt you. If it doesn't happen, it will happen. I'm sorry if I'm bringing the bad news, but I believe that God has a plan for your life and for my life, and therefore God will interrupt you at a certain stage. So I want us to focus on the conception of Jesus, the story of two young people, Mary and Joseph. We'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. And we'll look at the same story again from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. So we are going to explore the story of Jesus' conception in detail by going through the gospel according to Luke. And we are going to explore at least 3 points about interruptions. And then the second part of my message, we are going to look at 3 lessons that we can learn, particularly when we look into the life of Mary. At least 3 lessons. There are quite a number of lessons that we can learn, but I'd rather limit it to 3. So please turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 1. We'll read from verse 26. To 38. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. A descendant of David, the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I'm a virgin," the angel answered, "the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." You have to underline that. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Father Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this encounter. We thank you for being here this morning. I thank you that you are God of interruption. You've interrupted me this morning to be with your sons and daughters here. And I pray that, God, as we shelve your word, I pray that you touch lives, you transform lives. Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, Father God, let your power, your transforming power, Lord, do something in our lives to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, you know, as I said, I want us to start by looking at Jesus' conception, and this is the story that we just read. And if you want to write one's biography, you have to talk about their birth and their childhood. You know, that's the logical. If you want to write about Alexis' life, my life, you have to talk about where I was born, and you have to say about my childhood. Yet, only two of the four Gospels are interested to talk about Jesus' birth. And there is only one recorded incident from his childhood. So the Gospel writers have little interest in Jesus' childhood years. But here, we are going to see that Matthew and Luke do show at least some interest in Jesus' birth. And their interest in his conception and birth lies in showing that he is the Son of God, who became man by means of the virgin birth. And this is just what Luke recorded. Jesus is the Son of God, and this happened in a very miraculous way through Mary. And Matthew and Luke both tell the same story of Jesus' conception, however, they tell it from different perspectives. Luke tells the story through the eyes of Mary, whereas Matthew records it from Joseph's point of view, and we are going to see that later on. But But the question, I don't know whether you've ever asked yourself a question to say, where did Luke got this information? Because the way he's writing, it seems like he was standing right there when the angel was having an encounter with Mary. I don't know about you, when I read the Word of God, I get to question every sentence. I want to understand. Luke, come on, where did you get this information from? The only possible source of these intimate details that we've just read is Mary herself. We can get an idea. Luke, in the same chapter, verse 1 to 4, indicates that he did careful research before he wrote his gospel. He did a careful research before he wrote his gospel. He consulted written records of Jesus' life, and he spoke to every witnesses of the events. But there is also a possibility that Luke might have personally spoken to Mary, or had access to written accounts of her thoughts. That's a possibility. It's important that we establish that fact, because we are looking at the conception of Jesus, who came to interrupt the world. This happens exactly after the fall, when God gave promise to humankind and said that he is going to redeem. You know, he's going to redeem the sin of Adam and Eve. Something happened, which means that the order was interrupted. Now, to talk about Jesus' conception, we have to be careful, because we need to explain the truth of the gospel in a manner that people need to get it and understand. Now, let's start now by looking, now that we establish about where the possibility of where Luke might have got all this information. Now, let's focus on the young girl called Mary. Mary lived in Nazareth, a fairly small and hidden town in Galilee. Very small town. We are told that 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy, who is the relative to Mary, God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary to inform her that she would bear the Messiah. Mary was a virgin, engaged to a man called Joseph. There is a question of reflection here, because when we read verse 28 and verse 30, we find some very interesting words from angel Gabriel. Gabriel described Mary as a highly favored person. Highly favored. Now, just imagine you, we are here this morning after the meeting, someone came to you and said, you are highly favored. You are going to ask the person, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? And the angel did not stop there. The angel continued to say that, Mary, you have found favor with God. These statements required an explanation. Why was Mary highly favored? We have to understand that every Jewish woman at a time longed to bear the Messiah. At a time. God blessed Mary by choosing her for that great honor. Now, I don't want you to lose an idea or an aspect of today's topic. It is the gift of an interrupted life. I know some of you like bullet points and say, oh, you haven't given us the 3 points. Yes, we'll get there. But I'm trying to establish something that is very important before we can go further. The life of Mary is being interrupted. The life of Joseph is being interrupted. But while Mary's life is being interrupted, Joseph is not in the room. But we need to look carefully into these words coming from Gabriel, Gabriel, by the way, stands in the presence of God. That's what we are told from the Gospel of Luke. So he's actually bringing message directly coming from God to Mary. So we can say the reason that Mary was highly favored is that since Jewish women usually marry at about the age of 15, Mary would have been approximately about 14 years old when the angel appeared to her. She received the highest honor possible. She would bear the Christ. That's the reason why Angel Gabriel said to Mary, "You are highly favored. Among so many, many, many young girls, you are the only one God has chosen." Already you can understand that interruption is not a bad thing. Interruption is a great gift, whether it comes in a form of your career being interrupted, your marriage being interrupted, whether it is death. Sometimes we don't get to understand why it has happened, but when we dig deeper, then we get to understand why God had allowed that to happen. In Gabriel's instruction to Mary, the angel Gabriel made a number of statements, about 7 in total. But let's look at a few. Gabriel made it clear that this was not to be a son conceived naturally after she married Joseph. Instead, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Say, the Holy Spirit will come upon Mary. And the power of the Most High will overshadow Mary, and Mary is going to conceive. It is also important for us to note that in the Gentile world at the time, there were some rumors that the gods, you know, were having sexual relationships with women and thus fathering children. No wonder why the angel was so specific and very clear when he was delivering the message. The scripture is carefully phrased. The way that Angel Gabriel gave the message to Mary, he spoke about the Holy Spirit coming upon this young lady so that the rumors doesn't go to say, no, maybe it is the gods who have caused her to be pregnant. So the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you in a pure, non-sexual manner, causing Mary to conceive the Lord Jesus. And because Jesus' conception was the result of the miracle working power of the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary, the child would be called the Son of God, not the son of Joseph. So we are told the child will be called the Son of God, but not the son of Joseph. That's what we are told in verse 35. So my first point is this: interruptions happen. Interruptions are a natural part of life. The word interrupt means to come between, to break in. It is the one thing we can count on. Interruptions will come in and break up our plans. I was a little young boy. You would pick up from accent that it's got some French words in it. I was a little young boy when my life got interrupted, but without that, I wouldn't have been standing here with you. My life got interrupted as a result of civil war. This is the young man who wanted to grow up and become a medical doctor so that I could save lives, but you can see my desires and change. I am even doing more, not saying that medical doctors are not saving lives, but I'm even doing more and touching many lives because my life got interrupted by God. So interruptions happen. There are things we just can't control. We should, in a sense, expect the unexpected. We have to expect the unexpected to happen in our lives. You are not in control of tomorrow, even a few hours from here. God will interrupt you. God will interrupt your career. God will interrupt your ministry. God will interrupt into your family, your work, your environment, your business. God will do that. But we are going to find out the reasons why God will do such a thing. Think about what we've just gone through. We are not even out of it. The world has experienced the gift of an interrupted life, COVID-19. And these kind of interruptions will occur in one form or another. And for us, we are to learn how to respond. We are to learn how to respond. So when you are doing your planning, you have to make provision for interruption. Maybe provision is a big word. Maybe you have to expect at least the unexpected. This does not mean that we should stop to plan. We should stop to think about getting married, traveling, starting new businesses, etc. We can do all those things, but we are to make room and expect the unexpected. Back to Mary, one thing that we have to learn in terms of that culture, one thing we have to notice about the customs at the time was that Mary and Joseph were already promised and committed in covenant because they were pledged according to the law, which means that they were not available to other people. More or less like they were already married. Even though the marriage ceremony was still to take place, a pledge meant that they were not available. Joseph was not available to another girl. Mary was never available to another person. As many people hope for today, in those days, a woman would especially be grateful for this. Mary had been promised to a good man. Think about Joseph. One with a trade, who was in a good standing in his community, and the descendant of King David. He had a career, he came from a great family, and the family of Mary had already approved this young man. All the boxes were checked or ticked. Now the problem is this. How would Mary go to Joseph and explain that I'm pregnant? Some other interruptions are as a result of our own behaviors, are as a result of our own lack of acquiring wisdom from others. But they happen anyway, in whichever form. But in Mary's case, this was a different situation. How would she explain her pregnancy to Joseph? Would he believe her? Would he be willing to take on that responsibility? This was not in their plan. And yet, as we see, she accepted it. There is a lot we can learn from Mary. She accepted it. Without having to speak to Joseph, she said yes. And as we've just read, there was no space for negotiation. She could not negotiate with Gabriel. And we know how Joseph responded. He didn't believe her. How could he? He did not believe Mary. Friends, there are some interruptions in life. No matter how many times you explain yourself, nobody will believe you. But I also have believed that God cannot interrupt us without making provision for other people to stand with us. Joseph did not believe Mary. His plans for a happy home with the woman he wanted to love, to provide for, and have their children together were ruined before his eyes. His life, as well as ours, had been powerfully interrupted. The Christian life is like this. We are ordinary people in many ways. We have plans and desires, as you sit here this morning. In fact, a lot of plans and a lot of desires. Yet alongside this, there are God's plans and God's will. God is at work, and at any moment, he might do something special. At any moment, he might break in without permission. I was expecting an amen. Yeah, those amen, yeah. At any moment, your plans, your desires, at any moment God will break in your life, at any moment God will break in this community because he wants to do something. This brings me to my second point. Interruptions happen, but it is how we respond to them that is key. Yeah, those of you who love points, there's your point too. Now, let's look at how both Mary and Joseph responded to this interruption. If you read verse 29, and we read verse 34, and we read verse 38, we are told there that Mary took her fears and processed them through questioning, and then accepted what she felt God's will was for her life. That's what we are told. Joseph made his plans without first taking it before God. Thankfully, God rescued Joseph from his mistakes. Mary was greatly troubled. That's what we are told. There is nothing wrong when something is happening in our life without our own, you know, beyond your control. You have to be troubled. It is normal. She was troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. Then we are told in verse 34, "How will this be?" Mary asked, because she is speaking to someone who is representing God. Mary asked the angel, "Since I am a virgin, how is this going to happen? At the end of the conversation, we are told in verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant." "Who am I?" "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May your word to me be fulfilled." But that is not the way we live. We know for sure that there are times when God is pressing the button and God is saying, "Stop this. You know, you don't go to the left, go to the right." But most of the time we want our way and we don't want God's way. Here we can learn from Mary. She said, "You know what? I am just a servant of the Lord. And let it be." And this is a young girl who is talking. "Let it be." Friends, sometimes you'd want to hold on to that position for too long, but God is saying, "It's time up. I've got so much in store for you, for your life and for my kingdom and for my glory," but you keep holding on to it. Sometimes God has been wanting you to step out of that comfort zone and saying, "I want you to launch this thing." But you keep saying, you are looking at your comfort. You are looking, and all that you want to do is to save you. Mary here, she puts her own life at risk by saying yes. She put her marriage at risk. She was prepared to take the shame from the villagers. What about Joseph? At this point of time, when she said yes, she hasn't even consulted Joseph. But she said, "Let it be, because I'm just your servant." Friends, this is not an easy one. It's not an easy one for me. I don't think if it is easy for you at the end, I'd love you to come and tell me what is your secret, because for me, it is my way most of the time before I can even process and think, God, what is your way? In most cases, we try to come up with strategies and ideas to avoid to go through God's routes, but we want to go our own path. Now, let's go quick. We are not going to have time to look, to read all the verses from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25, how Joseph responded. Now, I'm just going to read verse 19 and 20, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quickly. What was Joseph avoiding? He was avoiding shame. He was living for other people. You know, he wanted to honor the law rather than to honor God. And because he didn't want, but he says, you know what, I'm going to do it in a good way. You know what? We are going to divorce, but we'll divorce in a proper manner. I'm not going to shame you, but I'll do it secretly. We can just divorce and it's finished. Friends, God's way sometimes is not always the easiest way. In fact, in most cases, because when we see how God has interrupted people in the Bible, it has never been easy. Yeah, but why are you complaining about where you are? Why are you complaining about that, what you might be going through now? But you have to ask the question, God, what is it that you are trying to teach me? Yeah, it is okay to feel the pain. It is not okay to feel the pain, sorry, or to go through all the, you know, it is normal. But the question is not, the point is not to run away. The point is to run to God. Joseph wanted to avoid, and he wanted to run away. And verse 20, we are told, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Do you remember I said earlier on that there is no way that God can interrupt your life without making provision? So God made provision. While Mary, maybe she was processing, how is Joseph going to receive this? God had already met with Joseph and made sure that Joseph's heart is transformed and changed before even meeting Mary. So God does that today. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and the same. And forever he remained the same. But maybe our stubbornness can cause us not to hear other people. When God made provision for people to be around us, our stubbornness can cause us to go the wrong path. But Joseph here had a choice, either to accept what God said or maybe to reject it. But he said yes. We make decisions when interrupted. We make decisions that if we were better informed, we would not make. Think about it. When interrupted, we rush to make decisions that if we were better informed, we would not make those decisions. But where do we get better informed? We don't get better informed by running away from God. We get better informed when we move towards God, when we question God like Mary did. We must be careful that when we face an interruption, we don't just react according to our own fears and feelings. Because fear and feelings will lead you to make wrong decisions, because that's what we can see from Joseph. He wanted to protect his own status, but what is status before God? When we face interruptions that are unexpected and life-changing, We should take them before God first and foremost for his wisdom and perspective. Joseph got God's perspective of his interruption. Do you have a God's perspective in your interruption? Or do you just have your own perspective? Are you trying to control and fix? Let me remind you, not you, not me. We don't have control of our lives or what can happen to us. You and I need to gain God's perspective in whatever situation we find ourselves in so that we can understand what God is wanting to do with us. Joseph decided not to divorce Mary. And here's the other truth. Mary is in a most vulnerable position with respect to the rest of the village. The villagers, no doubt, consider Joseph the father of Jesus. No doubt. They thought that while it was wrong to have sexual relations during the pledged period, but there was no formal punishment to the two of them. But what they needed to do was to rush the date so that they can come, they can get together. And when Joseph took Mary into his home, he removed the social stigma that would have been associated with Mary. Friends, if you have somebody, especially Christ followers, if you have a friend, a colleague, a family member who is going through a tough time, can you see you can learn from Joseph how Joseph responded to God's call by standing between the villagers and all the rest of the people for Mary so that Mary can at least see that this is not just the man who wanted to be with me, but this is the man who is committed to my life and is here not just as someone I would call a husband, but a best friend who'd walk with me the long journey. But most of us, in most cases, what do? We give up. For some reason, we give up. We do give up. Joseph took on the role of protector and provided godly leadership in their relationship. That's what we see here. He shows himself to be a man of faith and strength. His willingness to obey God demonstrates that he, like Mary, as a servant's heart toward God and is fully obedient to the call of God on his life. Please, Lex, will you tell me how many minutes I have left? Yeah, because 5 minutes. Okay. Yes. I have just been interrupted by Lex. Okay. All right, let's go quick. So far, we have looked at one, interruptions happen, two, but it is how we respond to them that is key. My third point is that interruptions are not distractions from the journey. They are the journey. Here's the truth. There is a chance to see God's sovereign plan at work. A chance to experience the presence of God as you journey. And they are a chance for God to do a deep work in you, in us. They are the journey. The word sovereign, obviously you know it, it means supreme. It is the plan that is above all other plans that God have. Above all circumstances, that's what we see in Joseph and Mary's life, that the plan of God was so much bigger than their only plans. And it's just because of time, this was not the only interruption that this young couple went through. When we read Luke chapter 2, when they were going for a census, you know, this couple walked about 145 kilometers on foot in a most dangerous forest so that they can get to the point where they would do the census. They were not walking on N1 where you can catch a lift, etc. They went through a lot at night and even, you know, putting their lives at risk. It was winter period when I did my research, and very dangerous animals that they could encounter along the way when they were going for that census. But for Mary and Joseph, we learn later on that all these things were happening in line with all that was spoken before by the prophets. Now, you don't know what the Lord has spoken over your life. If you knew, I think you will embrace so well anything that come along your way. I know that you don't know what God has spoken, maybe directly, but we've got this. This is the most powerful prophetic words, with full of promises for all of us who consider ourselves as children of God. Luke chapter 2 tells us, verse 6, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and they gave birth to a firstborn, and she gave birth to a firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. This is another one. There are no guest room. But we complain for every little things. But the Son of God is born, and this is a young girl. You know, their first child has no place to sleep, no good clothes to put on. Isaiah 7:14 confirms that all these were happening in line with God's plan. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign: beyond the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That is Jesus. Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origin are from of old, from ancient times. This is the King of Kings, Jesus, the baby Mary and Joseph were carrying. There was a time in history when no one thought at that time that there would be a king who would come from the line of David. It was quiet, nothing said. After all these promises, then when this time came, God interrupted the life of this young couple, the lives of this young couple. We see something incredible. While people maybe were expecting someone to come as a soldier who is going to kick out the Roman Empire and change things, etc. But surprisingly, what we discover from this story is a different story. God used a surprising country, Israel, a surprising area, Bethlehem, a surprising town, a surprising girl, a young girl who would actually come to fulfill that. Interruption is not a bad thing. God can interrupt you for a good cause. And in most cases, God interrupts us for a good cause. And he used a surprising method, a miraculous birth. There is a sovereign plan at work when we look into this story. There is a sovereign plan at work in your life and in my life. All right, let me jump because of the 5 minutes. I've got about 3 minutes now. Please, the next time you invite me, don't give me the same time as Lex. You know, when I preach, I need to take words from French, Swahili, Chiluba, and translate them before I can say them in English. So, I want to say this. The three learnings is what I'll land with that quick. Maybe today God wants you to perceive your hardship and whatever you are going through as God's plan A rather than plan B. Here are three lessons from Mary to remember. very quick. The first lesson, pray and pursue God's presence when interrupted. The first thing to do when your life is interrupted is to stop and pray. Pray for guidance. Pray for wisdom and discernment. Don't just react. Pray for courage. Pray for help. Invite God in. The second lesson, praise and gratitude. When you read from verse 46, there is a beautiful song from Mary. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. What a beautiful song. You can go read those verses. Mary worshiped God because of who he is. His character, his faithfulness, his mercy, as well as because of what he has done. She's calling those things to mind. Maybe this morning God wants you to do that. Call those things to mind. When people ask me what is the greatest miracle in my life, I say to them, the greatest miracle is not to see someone walking on the water. The greatest miracle is the fact that God managed to save a sinner like me. My salvation is the greatest miracle. Your salvation is the greatest miracle. No method, no father, no one could do that. And lastly, the third and final lesson from Mary is obedience and surrender. We see in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to your will. Can I invite us to stand? I want to say this. Interruptions happen. Interruptions happen, but it is how we respond to them that is key. Interruptions are not distractions from the journey. They are the journey. But I want to invite you this morning not to walk this journey on your own. As we read Isaiah, you hear what it says. The son who was to be born, the son who was born, is the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, and is the one who is the giver of the peace that you need. In all that you might be going through, can I invite you to do like Mary? Don't run away from God. Run to God. And if you are not a Christ follower, maybe you are here, God has interrupted your life and wanted you to come here this morning. Maybe you've been trusting, you know, your wisdom. You've been collecting things from here to there. Can I invite you this morning to surrender to God? Just to say, Jesus, here I am. I surrender my life to you. I want your wisdom. Help me. I am desperate. God will hear your cry and will answer your prayers. I want to pray for us. I want to pray with you. And I want to ask God this morning to help you. We don't have time for many testimonies where I've seen God breaking after a terrible, terrible season. But I'll mention one. In the gap of 2 years, my wife and I, we lost about our direct siblings, 6 of them, in 2 years. And it was in lockdown where, when I couldn't go, we couldn't travel out of the country. Our life got interrupted so badly. If there is someone standing here with a reason to reject Jesus and the truth about who Jesus is, I would put my hand up and say, I'm the first one, because I never understood that. I lost two of my young brothers in 1 month. But here I'm standing confidently. I'm sharing the gospel, believing the same truth that I believed the first day before those things happened. Because I am not in control of death or life, but whenever these interruptions come, God has a plan. And this plan is the best than my plans, than your plans. He knows why you are going through what you are going through. And he's there to help you through it. That's a journey, but you have to walk it with him. I am confident because I'm walking the journey with him. Father, Lord, I pray in your name, Jesus, this morning. Dear Lord, you search the hearts and the minds of your people. When we read scriptures, we see even people like Pharaoh. God, you could go and touch their heart, change it, make it strong. And Lord, there is nothing that is too big. When it comes to you coming down and breaking into our lives. Father, Lord, I pray this morning for my brothers and sisters here, that as we've shared your word, as we've heard the learnings from Mary and Joseph, what a wonderful testimony from your word that this young couple, just as Mary, Joseph, accepted to obey your word. Lord, I pray that men and women in this room today will say yes to you, to obey, to follow you, and to surrender to you in Jesus' name. Lord, those who are confused before they come here this morning, Lord, it's my prayer that now they'll discover peace because you are the Prince of Peace. Lord, that now that you've shined light, God, through your word, that they will understand that these interruptions don't happen for no reason. They happen for a better reason, for your glory, and to fulfill a particular purpose in life. I bless them, Lord, in your name, Jesus. I pray for your shalom, and I pray for joy, God. No matter whatever they might be going through, I ask that they would feel your presence, they would feel your joy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.